Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. No matter how much our intellectual minds know that we cannot control others' actions, that we cannot control the weather, we cannot control the law of nature, we cannot control other people's karmic packages. Nonetheless, no matter how much we intellectually know that, it hurts in our hearts so much when people promise us one thing and then betray us. And it doesn't seem to matter how much intellectually in our minds we know. Nonetheless, that pain, that sting in the heart is there. So first of all, have compassion for yourself. Don't feel less than. Don't feel like you've made some mistake. It's so easy for us in those moments to berate ourselves and to say, oh, we never should have trusted. We are stupid. We are fools. Shouldn't have trusted, shouldn't have believed, shouldn't have cared, shouldn't have loved. And then we become our own worst judge. Don't. To love another being, to trust another being, is beautiful. It's what we have this very human heart for. There is a reason. And a beautiful reason that no matter how many times we are betrayed, we keep trusting. That no matter how many people who cheat us or cheat on us, we keep trusting, we keep believing. This is not foolishness. This is beautiful, tender humanness. So have compassion for yourself and appreciate the fact that we are not put here on earth with our highest goal being not to get hurt, not to be betrayed, not to be cheated. Our highest goal, our highest purpose is to experience the presence of the divine within us. And one of the most beautiful manifestations of the divine is love. One of the most beautiful ways of experiencing the divine is through love. Bhakti yoga, the path of devotion, is one of the most core paths to God. But as we speak about so frequently, loving God doesn't always mean just I worship God in the form of Krishna or Ram or Shiva or Durga in our mandirs. Or depending on my different religion, I worship God in that name or that form. That's not all that it means. It means that I'm able to see the divine and to love the divine in the creation. And so loving another being is a form of loving God. We are meant to love. We are not meant to harden our hearts, to build walls between us and the world. It's like that beautiful saying that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. When you love, you know you're alive. So I'm deeply sorry that you were betrayed, that you were lied to, that someone who promised you something did not fulfill that promise. And find love again. The greatest lesson in all of this is not don't trust. The greatest lesson in all of this is to remember how beautiful it feels to love. And every time there is that pain, to realize that that pain is there to remind you of how good it felt to love. So when that sting comes, instead of thinking, oh yeah, I'll never trust again, I'll never love again, I can't trust, let that sting be that which reminds you to love again. Because loving is actually experiencing our highest self. And it doesn't mean that we go from romantic relationship to romantic relationship. It may not even necessarily be another human being you love right away. Let it be a tree. Let it be the ocean, let it be the river, let it be a sunset. Let it be a beautiful animal. And when we move into loving humans, there's nothing that says the highest form of love is romantic love. In fact, the highest form of love is loving God. Sabse unchi prem sagai. Highest form of love is love of God. So whatever we are able to love, whomever we are able to love and to understand that we are loving God in them, that is the highest form of love. So love the trees, love the birds, love the sunsets, love the rivers that flow, love the ocean. Love your parents, love your grandparents, love your neighbors. Love anyone and everyone you can. Don't mistake in your mind romance for love. Find love wherever you can. And you may choose to re-enter a romantic relationship at some point in your life. Probably you will. It's in relationship, in the yoga of relationships, that people who are not with the dharma of sannyas, not with the dharma of renunciation, it's in that yoga of relationships that people learn so much and grow so much and blossom so much. But don't rush into it. There's no need to do that. But don't stop loving. Don't stop trusting. In this moment, allow your heart to love. Allow your heart to trust. And again, it may be starting small. But know that love is the nature of who you are. So you have to keep loving. And remember also that God never promised you, love me, and you'll never be betrayed. Love me, you'll never be cheated. Love me, no one will ever break your heart. God never promised us that. What God promises us is love me. And as you move through the world, you will move through the world in a way that is anchored and grounded and connected so that the ups and downs of the world don't impact you so much. And lastly, remember, you are the one in charge of your own heart. You are the one. Other people will do whatever they do. They will lie. They will cheat. They will betray. They will do whatever they're going to do. That's their karmic package. But don't let any of that steal your ability to love, your ability to trust, your ability to fulfill your dharma, which is loving.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
When you say we are our own worst enemy, it's important to clarify who is the we. If I say to you, you are your own worst enemy, who is that you I'm speaking to? It's not your soul. It's not the truth of who you are. It's not your highest nature. It's the ignorance of your mind. It's the ego of the mind. It's the patterns, the subconscious of your mind. So you are your worst enemy because you are the one who actually keeps you from experiencing the love, the truth, the awakening, the enlightenment, which is your true nature, which is your true self. It is the mind that plays the games. It's the mind that says, oh, it's not fair. Why is she so beautiful and I'm so ugly? Why is she so popular and no one likes me? Why is he so handsome and I'm not? Why is he the one getting the raises and the promotions and I'm not? Why does he have this? Why does she have that? It's not fair. It's the mind that says, how dare you? I hate you. That's not fair. This isn't right. It's the mind that says, I'll be happy when I have this job, this money, this prestige, this, that. It's all the games of the mind. That is why you're your worst enemy. Not your heart, but your conditioned mind. And so this is where we have to overcome that pattern. When we know my highest purpose, my dharma, the truth of who I am, is to be love, to be light, to be truth, to experience love, to experience light, to experience truth. When I know that's my highest purpose, what is it that blocks me? What is the voice, the pattern, the habit that makes me hit snooze in the morning instead of getting up to meditate? What is it keeps me from opening my heart, from being that instrument, that tool, that vehicle, that vessel in God's hands? What is it? What is that voice within me, that pattern within me that says, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. You're not old enough or young enough. What is that pattern that says you're not meant to do this? Who do you think you are? What is that voice that tells me, oh, this must just be my stars. Oh, this must just be my bad karma. Oh, this must just be my bad luck. Must just be bad destiny. Predestined, a bad predestiny that causes you then to give up. What is that? That's the workings of the mind. So when we say you are your worst enemy, it's only your mind. And it's only that pattern in the mind that is working against your highest and truest calling. So when you see these patterns that thwart you, that stop you, that hinder you, that paralyze you, that judge you, that condemn you, that stick you in a box, that try to keep labeling you, telling you, you are this, you are that. Just do what you would do if an unwanted guest showed up at your door. You wouldn't kill them. You wouldn't give them a bloody nose. But you wouldn't let them in. You wouldn't sit them down for tea. You'd fold your hands and you'd say, I'm so sorry. I'm busy right now. Thanks for coming by, though. Bye. In the same way, when all of these thoughts of the mind come, when the patterns come, just do what you would do with that. Do what you would do when you get junk mail. How many of us get nonsense junk email? Do you actually open it? Do you actually read it? I mean, you get a junk mail that's got a title that tells you how certain parts of your body, certain organs of your body are much smaller than they should be. And if you just open this email, it'll help you make them larger. Or that tells you that there's something very wrong with other parts of your body. Not appealing enough. And if you just open this email, they'll tell you how to make those parts of your body much more appealing. Or it'll tell you how to be rich. Right? I mean, everything we get. Do you actually open it? Of course not. We know. We know this is junk. Thankfully, these days, we actually now have spam filters that get better and better every day, so they don't even show up in our inbox. They go straight to spam. Straight to the junk box. This is what you need in your mind and in your life. As these thoughts come, as these patterns come, just understand, this is just junk. Has nothing to do with actual reality. Just junk. Don't open it. And slowly, slowly, slowly develop for yourself that own beautiful spam filter, junk filter. So that it stops even entering your consciousness. So that you know, I don't listen to that voice. I don't listen to that pattern. I don't listen to that nonsense. It's like, I remember when I was growing up, we had, you know, actual radios and clock radios, and they had dials, and you would turn the dial to the radio station that you liked. And each one, the dial was a little different. Some of them You had to actually turn it with a little more force. Some were much softer, like you would just barely touch it and the dial would move. And so in the beginning, when you'd get a new radio, it would always take a few days to really get the good knack of how to turn the dial exactly the right way to get exactly the station you wanted without all of the static and the nonsense or the country western music you didn't want to listen to. But after a few days, your fingers knew exactly how to do it. And you could immediately go from your one favorite channel to your other favorite channel. In the same way, develop for yourself that ability to not even hear that static, to not even hear the junk you don't want to hear, and to just be able to keep that dial of the mind exactly where you want it. And whether it's on your meditation, on your prayer, on your work, on your introspection, on your insight, on your love, whatever it may be, we've got so many beautiful channels to think about. But develop that ability to move through them without suddenly the dial getting weak and suddenly you find there's all this static or all this noise playing on the radio of the mind. And you can do it. But it just takes some practice.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
It's an interesting place where the West and the East intersect, where modern psychology intersects with ancient spirituality. Because ancient spirituality, especially that of the East, reminds us, emphasizes, that feelings, emotions are just waves in the ocean of the mind. It's just the ebb and the flow of chemicals and electricity, and like waves on the ocean, they come and they go. And not to get attached to them, not to infuse too much importance in them. In fact, we speak about yoga as yoga is the cessation of the fluctuation of the mind. As the mind becomes still, that is yoga. And so in the Eastern traditions, that which we call our feelings, our emotions, are actually seen very much as just kind of a fluctuation of mind stuff. And that stuff is made up of everything ranging from patterns, sanskaras, from our childhood in this particular life, to karma and sanskaras from past lives, to the hormones flooding our body, to the chemicals in our bloodstream based on what we ate, based on whether we got enough sleep last night, based on so many different aspects that are impacting the chemicals and electricity of my brain. And it's really seen as just mind stuff, not something to be paid that much attention to, not something to be delved into and hashed out. Something to be able to be simply witnessed. Ah, anger. Ah, yearning. Ah, aversion. Ah, sanskara, an impression, a pattern. Just to be noticed, to be witnessed, like the waves of the ocean. In the West, we're much more focused on insight and depth and process. And for me, I come from that. That's the background that I was raised in, born in, both as a culture, but it's also the background that I was educated in. I have a PhD in psychology. And so, on the one hand, I love insight. The ability to understand, anger. But also, here's why I'm angry. Anger, yes. But it's anger because that which just happened intersected in this subtle way with that thing that my mom or my dad or my sister or brother used to do to me. And it set this pattern, this sanskara, in me in my childhood. And I've carried it throughout my life. And that is why in this moment, when that colleague or that neighbor or that friend did that thing, it's like pulling a scab off of a wound that didn't heal. And so, anger. But not anger of today. Anger of 20, 30, 40 years ago. And on a personal level, I actually love that ability to have that insight. I love being able to look at how I feel, how I think, and being able to not just witness it, not just say, aversion, longing, myth of not enoughness, but actually to be able to say, that moment with my mother when I was that age, or that moment with my father when I was that age, or that moment in school when this happened, or that moment. And to recognize that first domino that hit and started the chain reaction that has led to us having this particular issue today. So on a personal level, I love insight. But I don't actually think it's necessary. As long as your spiritual practice is very, very clear. Otherwise, if it's not, you could very quickly and very easily end up using that Eastern spiritual teaching in what we call a spiritual bypass. So you could have issues of anger, issues of ego, issues of aversion, issues of grabbing, issues of jealousy, issues of competition, all of that. And if you just sort of pretend to witness it, pretend to notice it, and then move on with your life, you run a very likely risk of what we call spiritual bypass, which is to literally bypass the work we need to do psychologically. To bypass, why do I keep getting angry? Why do I keep feeling like I am less? Why do I keep feeling so judgmental? Why am I always competing with others? Why am I so jealous? You lose that opportunity to actually heal. And so when feelings arise, as the questioner asks, is it ever okay to just let it go? Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if it's something you've worked with before. If it's something you know, you're familiar with it. You know that jealousy. You know that when you were growing up as the middle child of six siblings, you didn't get enough attention. You weren't the youngest or the oldest. You weren't the smartest. You weren't the cutest. You weren't the only girl or the only boy. You weren't anything special. And so you didn't get what in your childhood you really needed, which was that love and that attention and that affection. And so you grew up jealous. You grew up feeling not enough. So once you've really done that work, once you've seen it, you've recognized it, you've come through it, it doesn't mean that you'll never experience jealousy again. But so let's just take that example. Let's say that it comes up. Do you need to process it every time? Of course not. Do you need to go back and relive your childhood every time? Of course not. And this is actually where, in the West, I think we get stuck. I think we lose the process for the destination. We start thinking that the process is the destination. We start thinking that actually rehashing and reliving is where we're going. It's not. We need to see the cause of the darkness only so that we can see the light. If not being able to see why we are jealous or angry or self-sabotaging or constantly competitive or angry all the time, if we're not able to heal from it without understanding where it comes from, then we need to do the work to understand, now I remember. My mom taught me this. My dad taught me this. My sister taught me this. My brother taught me this. Maybe they didn't mean to, but this is how I learned it. But then once you're aware of that, every time it comes up, you don't need to rehash it. It's absolutely fine to just allow it to arise and then allow it to go. Like the waves of the ocean. And even sometimes feelings come, emotions come that we don't necessarily know why they came. Out of the blue, anger. Out of the blue, grief. Out of the blue, frustration. And again, sometimes that's just what it is. You know, we're all connected energetically to each other, to the earth, to the energetic field that we live in. And sometimes that which we are absorbing is not even actually something that's coming in from our own brain. It may be something that we walked by someone and we picked it up. It may be something in the field. And so sometimes, yeah, it's absolutely enough to just notice it, to just say, yeah, anger. Inexplicable anger. Okay. And you sit and you allow it to build and to crash and to dissipate. Or yeah, inexplicable grief. And it builds and it crashes. But the truth is, even if it's inexplicable in that moment, there's plenty of things in the world, even if they're not from our own childhoods, there's plenty of reasons in the world to be angry sometimes. There's plenty of reasons in the world to be sad sometimes. It reminds me of that funny story of a friend of mine told a long, long time ago. He had gone to a boarding school, a very, very strict boarding school that was run by nuns. And he said, and this is going back now, he's 40, 50 years. And so sort of old school, very, very strict nuns running a boarding school for boys. And he said that sometimes they would get in trouble and the nuns would come and hit them with rulers or worse. And if he got hit and he would say, but I didn't do it. That their standard answer was, you may not have done this, but this, what I'm giving you with the ruler, is for that which you did that I didn't see. Maybe you didn't do this one, but you did something. And so I'm going to whack you for whatever it is you did that I didn't see. And it's a story that I've heard him tell several times, and we chuckle every time. But I think of it in this moment because you may not know why the sadness is there in that moment or why the anger is there in that moment. There may not be something up in your life right now to feel grief about or to feel anger about. But there is so much going on in the world that maybe they are tears for a time that you didn't cry. Maybe it's anger for something that someone needed to get angry about and no one has. So don't worry all the time about figuring out why you're feeling a certain way. Sometimes they just come. And all it needs is for us to sit, be quiet, and allow it to build. Allow it to crash and dissipate. And then it's over. Like the waves on the ocean.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavathy Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
She asked about being here, being at the ashram and loving it. She was actually asking it on behalf of someone else, but loving it so much and then feeling torn by the family back home, maybe of a different religion, of a different way of life, and feeling so connected here and so much like it's right, but also feeling that pull and how did I manage this and how do we manage it? So in life, we always have to ask ourselves, what's our dharma? What's our duty? And in many cases, we have more than one. What's your purpose here? What's your highest dharma, you can say? And for all of us, that main purpose, main dharma, is to wake up. That's why we took birth, is to wake up, to experience the truth of who we are, to experience, to know really who we are, that truth. Now, along the way, we also have a lot of other duties. We have a lot of other ways that our dharma gets manifest through different roles, different duties, different relationships. And it's really important as we move through our life to ask ourselves, in what way this role, this job, this relationship, this is in service of my ultimate highest truth. Now, some of it may feel difficult and inconvenient in many cases, like family members. But we have to remember also that the family itself is its own dharma. We wouldn't be here, none of us, if it weren't for our family. Regardless of how in our minds they may have messed up in a worst case scenario, nonetheless, we're here because of them. Even in the worst case scenario, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for those who gave us birth. And for most of us, it's not such a worst-case scenario. For most of us, our families really did the very best that they could do. They really tried. In most cases, our parents were young when we were born, in the midst of their own karmic package, their own struggles, their own confusion, their own issues. In many cases, they're still going through that. Parents have agendas. Everybody has agendas. Ways that they see the world, ways that they see truth. Now, here's what happens a lot. When someone breaks out of that mold, that vision, that agenda, it actually makes everybody else have to look at it in a completely different way. If, let's say, I grow up in a family that's all about materialism. I didn't, but let's just say theoretically I did. If it was a family that was all about materialism, and suddenly I become a renunciant. Well, that's something then that family members end up having to look at. And most people don't want a mirror in their face. I remember when I made the decision to come back to India and be in India rather than finishing my PhD program at that time. And Pooja Swamiji sent me back. He made me go back and go back to school. And he said, because people will always try to write off, to put down, to disregard the spiritual choice. He said, because most people don't make that choice. And if you make that choice, it's a mirror in the face of people who haven't made that choice. And most people don't want to look in that mirror. And so it's much easier for them to think that people who are choosing spirituality are choosing it because they ran away, had a breakdown, couldn't handle it, couldn't do it, that they somehow were failing. Because my idea was I was just going to not go back. I was just going to stay here and give everybody a phone call that says, guess what, I'm not coming back. And he said, no, you have to go. And he said, because if you don't, they will always be able to write you off as she ran away, she had a breakdown, she couldn't handle it, she was brainwashed, she joined a cult, whatever it was. And he said, that's not the point. If you're going to serve as a model of someone who had that and left it for this, you can't do it in a way that people can write it off. You have to be that mirror. The gentle, loving mirror of what choice people aren't making. And I share this because when we get that real strong pull from families to not do this, in a lot of cases it's because it's very, very scary to the sort of agreed upon family dynamic or agreed upon family value, family ethic of what's important to us, how we live, what we value. And to commit oneself to a spiritual practice, of meditation, of service, God forbid to work and not get paid for it. To connect to God. This is scary for a lot of people. I remember when I was back in LA after not that long, maybe I'd been here a year or two, my mom very much wanted to take me to the movies one night. And it's a long story, I won't share the whole story, but I finally said to her, I said, look, I would rather sit in my room and stare at a blank wall for 2 hours, then go to the movies. And she said, what? You've gone crazy. I mean, and I said, because see, my meditation isn't yet strong enough that you can put me in a movie theater in front of a movie and I won't get distracted by it. I'll get completely distracted. I'll completely start to pay attention to the movie. And by the time the movie's over, I will have lost 2 hours of my life, of consciousness, of awareness, of mindfulness. Whereas if I stare at a blank wall, I can meditate, I can pray, I can be mindful, I can plan. But stuff like this is really scary for families that may be very religious, but may not necessarily have this type of spiritual component to it, or for whom the idea of you experiencing yourself in a place that is a foreign land, a foreign tradition, that scares them. Don't try to push them. Don't try to convince them. Don't try to fight them on it. Just live your truth. Because remember, time moves forward. There's a beautiful line in a poem by Khalil Gibran about parents and children. He's speaking in the poem to the parents. And he's telling them about how time moves only forward. And that they should not seek to hold their children back. But rather that they are the bow from which the arrow is sent off into tomorrow. And I love the poem, and I always share it with parents and with children who are having issues with their parents, because it's a beautiful metaphor of, yes, stay connected and realize as the arrow, your highest dharma is not to stay in the bag that's connected to the bow. Your highest dharma as an arrow is to fly from the bow. And the highest dharma of parents is not to try to crazy glue that arrow into the bow and to not let go, but to let go, knowing that we've given our children the values, the ethics, the sanskaras, that we've given them all we can. And now it's time for them to soar off into time, into tomorrow. And so as arrows, it's important for us not to lose that opportunity just because the bow doesn't necessarily want us to. But it's also important to love that bow and to stay connected and in love to move forth into your truth. And the truth is a magnet. And whether it's your parents, your family, your friends, your community, It will attract people, it will hold them. Not all of them, but those who are meant to be there along your path. And you'll find your way. Just stay anchored in your truth. And the way will open, the way will appear, you'll create that way. And you'll be that magnet also for so many people to start to experience their truth as well. I had so many people in the beginning tell me I was completely crazy. And so many now saying, oh my God, we want to come, we want to come. So many come already. But it takes time.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.